I'm glad to be here today. We love coming here. My wife and I, we love this church. We love the people at this church. We've never felt more welcome, and we appreciate you allowing us to be here. And Brother Kenny, I appreciate the opportunity to come. When he asked me to come preach, it was probably 3 or 4 days ago, and when he first asked me, I was like, this last sermon, I was thinking, I got ready in like 3 days, and he was like, well, I want you to preach on that. And I was like, okay. I was like, let's do it. But I'm just thankful to be here. You know, God has a unique way of working things out. And God knows who this is for just as much as it was for me. And I'm thankful because God is so good. I want to start by praying. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for who you are and for all that you've done. God, I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love. God, I thank you for your unending love that stretches across the universe for me and for everyone else. God, I pray today that you'd give us an ear to hear. Give us a heart to receive your word in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Today, it's been a long morning. Today I'm going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there, or your phone, or your iPad, or whatever it is you use. I'm going to start in verse 19, and I'm going to read through verse 34. When you get there, say, I'm there. Verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first, everybody say first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, that seemed like kind of long, but not really. This particular passage of Scripture took place during what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And there were a lot of people there. The Bible uses the word multitudes. There were people from Jerusalem and Judea and Galilee and from way across the river. There was a whole lot of people there that day. And the people were astonished by the way that Jesus spoke, because he spoke with such an authority that they had never heard before. And they didn't know what to think about it, really. They had never heard anything like it before. And so, if you haven't read the Sermon on the Mount, go home and read Matthew 5 through 7. And if you have read it, read it again. I guarantee you, every time you read it, you'll learn something new about yourself. there's a lot of standards and there's a lot of rules, and Jesus talks about a lot of do's and don'ts of you following God's plan and God's purpose for your life. And so it was different for these people to hear. And tonight, or today, man, I keep saying tonight. Not used to preaching in the morning, sorry. Today, I'm going to talk about a small portion of that, the portion that we just read, and I'm going to talk to you about being kingdom-minded or kingdom-focused. I'm going to give you my personal definition of kingdom-minded. So take this as a grain of salt. This is my definition. Kingdom-minded, to thoroughly seek the perfect will of God, to focus on the expansion of God's kingdom by loving, witnessing, and serving those around you, and to be willing to give God everything you have. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the first thing we read. Verses 19 through 21 basically say that you shouldn't lay up any treasures here on earth. You should lay up all your treasure in heaven, because where your treasure is where your heart is. The big question for Christians today is, where are you laying up your treasure? I don't have to ask sinners where they're laying up their treasure right now. And I shouldn't have to ask myself or people that are Christians where they're laying up their treasures, but where are we laying them up? So many times in this life, we sit and we think, if only I had that, or if only I had this, then I would be okay. Sometimes I think, if only I won the lottery that I never play, I would be set forever. And it would be awesome. But then yet again, I'll watch TV or I'll get on the internet and I'll see these people that seem to have everything and they're just completely miserable all the time. I've seen TV shows where it's like a whole bunch of rich people. I don't know why they even have the TV show, but they just argue all the time. And I think, why are you arguing? Look, what are you doing? Just leave each other alone. I mean, go buy something. And that's what I think about, and I just don't get it. But I do, because you're not going to get anything out of that long term. Where are you laying up your treasure? We seek to find security and satisfaction in the temporary things of this earth instead of seeking the things of God with an eternal mindset. Aren't you tired? I'm tired of giving in and buying in and building into things that never give back. They never give back to me. We're meant to serve people. We're not meant to put people before God. We're meant to have nice things. God blesses us tremendously, and we do have nice things. And I'm not saying you can't have nice things. I said the other night, and I'll tell you guys too, I'll be honest with you, and Heather knows this, I want a motorcycle so bad. I can't stand it. My uncle, he rides one, and sometimes he brings it to the house, and I'm like, get out of my driveway. What are you doing? It's okay to want nice things, but don't lay that up as your treasure. Don't buy into that completely. Don't give in to relationships or friendships completely. Give everything you have to God. Quit looking for a quick fix. A boyfriend or a girlfriend, it's not going to fix it. It's not going to fix you. As much as I love my wife, she's awesome. She helps me. She's very supportive of me. And I'm supportive of her. Long term, guys, eternal term, my wife can't fix it for me. I can't fix it for my wife. No matter how much I love her, that love is never going to be as strong as how much Jesus loves her. And I'm going to try my best, and she tries her best, and sometimes we fail miserably in friendships and relationships and everything else. But when you put your treasure in God, and whenever you put God first, and you lay your treasure up in heaven, those crowns that you're going to get, and then you're going to give right back to them, that's when you find true happiness. That's whenever you find happiness. I'm going to move on to verse number 24. Verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and someone else. You can't serve God half-heartedly and be kingdom-minded. So many times in our Christian walk, we're just giving it halfway. sometimes not even halfway. And can I tell you something that I really think is true? I think that God is so tired of mediocre Christianity. God is so tired of us giving halfway and half-heartedly to Him because He gave everything for us. Literally, everything. His life. He gave up too much for us to be ankle-deep in this relationship. He gave up too much. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." He gave His only Son. I don't have a son or a daughter yet, but I have a wife. I have wonderful friends. I have wonderful family. And I know what love is. I know what it means to love. And I can only imagine how much more love it would be to have children. But the ones I do love, sorry guys, couldn't give them up. Couldn't do it. For this world, that hasn't given anything to me, this world that despises me because of who I worship, couldn't do it. No way. And God gave up His perfect Son for you and I. He gave up way too much for us to live halfway, for us to be mediocre. God knows and supplies everything that you need. So don't worry about it. This is the hardest thing probably for me to preach, is don't worry about it. I was so stressed this morning. I just want to say I enjoyed that so much, playing music with you guys, and I hope you have me back. But whenever I remembered that you guys were an hour ahead and I was late, I was so stressed out. And I was worrying. I come from a family, man, we worry a lot. My mom and my grandparents, I call her Mama, she's my grandma, she worries like crazy. She worries so bad that when you call her and she thinks something's wrong, she'll call me every name in my whole family. My uncles, my aunts, before she knows who she's talking about, because she worries a lot. And you're not supposed to. And we know that. And we preach that. But it's hard. It's easier said than done. And I'm going to tell you where Jesus can get personal with you. In verse 30, it says right here, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Jesus knew I was going to read this one day. And He knew you were going to read this one day. He knew you were going to hear this. And that's how Jesus can speak to multitudes and speak to me at the same time. Just like He died for everyone, and He died for me at the same time. I try to say this anywhere that I go, anytime that I talk to anyone. If you don't know Jesus, Jesus is so personal. He is so personal that not only did He die for every one of you in this building and everyone in the whole world, but He died for you. And if you were the only one to ever accept Jesus, I still think you would have done it. If that's what it took to get one into heaven, to spend eternity, and to love endlessly, one, I still think Jesus would have done it, because His love is unending. It's too big and it's too powerful. I love the NLT version of this. It says in Philippians 4:6, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Quit worrying about it and give thanks to God." All your issues, all your problems, all your finances, you have relationship problems, you have problems in your church, you have problems in your household, you have problems at work. Give it to God and quit worrying about it. You know, I've never solved anything by worrying. Never. I worry all the time, it seems like. It seems like there's always something to stress about, whether it be work or, you know, being late for church or, you know, just anything. It seems like there's always something to worry about. But worrying don't get me anywhere. It didn't get me anywhere closer here this morning. It didn't. And so toward the end of the ride here, I decided, you know what? This happened for a reason. Because to be kingdom-minded means that God is ordaining your steps. And I learned a valuable lesson this morning. But you don't have to have it all together. We worry and we stress. And I'll say this too. I think worry is a sign of distrust. I think when we worry a lot about everything, about our lives and a lot about, you know, the things going on, I think God's just sitting there saying, just trust me. Right. Trust me. Trust what I've said. Trust what I'm doing in you. Right. And just trust me. And so many times we see all these people and we look around and they have all this nice stuff, or they stand up here and they preach, or they have all this talent, and it just seems like people in this world just have everything together. They have it all together. And you see them and you think, man, how do you get a life like that? How do you get all these nice things? I see people sometimes and it seems like they get everything handed to them. And I think, man, how do you do that? You know? Show me how to do that. But then you know what? I guarantee you, if you spend a full day with those people, if you learn what's on the inside, they're just as broken as you are. They have just the same amount of issues, amount of problems as you do, because no one has it all together. And this world is teaching people that are my age, people that are your guys' age in that back corner back there, that you have to have everything together, and you don't. Because if you serve God, then you serve someone who has everything all together. He has everything that you need already lined up and already planned up out for your life. And all you have to do is wholeheartedly follow him. And that's all you have to do. I'm going to read verse 33 and 34 again. Melissa, do you care to come to the piano? Thank you. Verse 33 says, but seek ye, everybody say first. Everybody say first. Money. Relationships. Your church family. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Guys, it all goes back to the very first commandment. Thou shalt have no gods before me. Not your spouse, not your friends, not your money, not your trucks, your boats, not your phones. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Put God first. I'll tell you, it's not been like a real long time. Brother Kenny even said up here that I've been on a wild journey over the last probably 10 years of my life, from diving deep into sin and knowing how that lifestyle turns out. Nothing. It gives you nothing. All it does is take away. It's fun for a minute. You think, man, I can play this part. I can go to church on Sunday. I can do my thing on the drums. And then on Friday, Saturday night, I can do whatever I want to do. It'll fail you every time. Every time, because you're buying into something that will never give back to you. Sin will never, ever, ever give back to you. Satan will never, ever, ever give anything good back to you. Ever. Put God first. Over the last few months, it's been this crazy struggle of emotion. My wife and I have dealt with so many battles. Just the strangest things, the oddest things, from emotionally being, you know, kind of depressed and sad and not really realizing where God is going to take us or what God is doing in our lives. But you know what? The devil will fight you when you decide to put God first. It's not going to be easy. It's not. But God knows that whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. I've spent too long being mediocre, and I've spent too long being half-hearted. And whatever he wants me to do, I have decided to do it. Because in order to be kingdom-minded, you have to be kingdom-guided. You can't just serve God and have all this stuff all together. I can't get up here and just preach this message to you that I didn't write. This is something that God gave me, because if he hadn't given it to me, then I would never be up here in the first place. Period. It's not me to just write stuff down and say, okay, I'm a preacher now. We've done some real hard battling, me and God, in here. Like, that's not me. This isn't me. And God says, yeah, but it's me. It's me. get up there and do what I want you to do. And whenever you say, okay, God, okay, let's do it. Let's go on this journey together. You're going to get fought. Things are going to be thrown at you. But at the end of the day, while God's working on you, when it's all said and done, you're going to be this perfect masterpiece that God has molded, not you. Something happened to me the other day, and God wanted me to share this with you guys. It was actually the night that you called me. I was taking my dogs out, and it was dark outside, and I was looking up, and you could see the stars pretty good in our backyard sometimes. And I seen an airplane flying, and it was one of those really big ones. You could tell, because it lit up the whole sky. And I stood there, and I thought about all the different races of people that are on that airplane, all the different ethnicities of people that are on that airplane. Maybe some of them are going to a job, and they're in the hustle and bustle of the work life. Maybe some of them are going on vacation. Maybe some of them are moving. And I stood there for a good few minutes, and I thought about how small of a puzzle piece I am in all of this world, of all the different people, all the different shapes and sizes of us, all the different everything, how different we are. I thought, I'm small in this world. I thought, there's a lot going on around me that I don't know about. There's a lot of important people in this world that I don't really know about. And God wanted me to share this with you. And he spoke to me that night, and he said, you're a big deal to me. You're a big deal to God. You are. God sees you where you're at. He sees your heart. He knows if you're living halfway. He knows if we put on a good performance sometimes. We really do. And I know that because I was one of the best. I could act with the best of them. John 16 and 33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The only way that you're ever going to make it and you're going to feel joy, the only way that you're ever going to make it and you're going to prosper, kingdom prosper, is if you become kingdom minded. Put God first and see where he takes you in this life. Just try it. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. You're going to be hurt. You're going to feel stepped on. You're still going to be stressed out. But isn't it insane that we don't put our lives into the hands of the one that created it? I thought about that the other day. We try the same thing over and over and over again, our way, and we don't get anywhere. And that's insane because we don't give God our lives. He created you. He knows you better than you do. If anyone in here has the hair on their head numbered, let me know, because that's pretty awesome. But God knows you better than you know yourself. And when God is ordaining your footsteps, God didn't send me here for no reason today. He didn't. Because I know that God's not going to open a door and let me walk through it if I'm not meant to. He's going to slam that door. He's going to say, no. Come this way. Because whenever you fully put God first, whenever you fully become kingdom-minded and let him control your life, God can literally, physically ordain your footsteps where he wants you to go, the people he wants you to be around, the relationships that he wants you to have, and he'll start ridding you of addictions, and he'll start ridding you of people, and he'll start ridding you of things that you don't need, and he'll make you the influence, and not other people the influence. He'll make you become the influence, and he'll make you become the witness that you need to be for other people. Not the other way around. Let him lead you. This altar is open, and I'll pray with anybody here. And I know that there's a lot of good people here that'll pray with you too. And I thank God for the opportunity to come and speak to you guys today. But if you're hurting, if you feel mediocre, you're not. You are a big deal to God. Make him a big deal to you. I'm going to pray. God, I love you, and I thank you for everything that you've done for me. I thank you, God, for the mysterious ways that you work. How everything that we do, if we follow you, works out for good because of your good, and you're perfect all the time, every time. God, your love is so great. Your love is so great. And I thank you for sending your son above all. I thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me personally and for these people personally, for loving them, for having a personal relationship with them. Thank you, Jesus.